Hare Krishna, Jai Shri Krishna. Welcome for this Bhagavad Gita class. Today is Saturday, 22nd September 2012. And today is also Radha Ashtami. It's a very auspicious day. So I welcome you all for this class. So first we start with the invocation. So please join me, all of us will chant together. And you may find it a little difficult in the beginning to read this phonetic language. Phonetic language, you know, all the shlokas are in phonetic language, so that as it is pronounced, so it is written. Okay. So maybe I will let you know, not today, but if you have any problem, then I will let you know how to pronounce. Or next time I can put a Sanskrit shloka also, so that, you know, those who can read Sanskrit can read it along, or and those who do not can read the English transliteration. Okay. Okay. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahayam Dadati Swapadantikam. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patita Nama Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Please repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Jayapataka Swami Niti Namine. Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine. So, we started last week and we discussed about why, as a human being, we are supposed to be different than animals. What makes us different from the animals, right? We did that. So now we have some idea that yes, we are human beings, and so we need to be different than the animals. And that difference is to start inquiring, you know, start inquiring about our existence, you know, who we are, from where we have come, where we will go, why are we here, is there any different world, is there anything after we leave the body, or everything gets over, why are we suffering, right? Everybody knows we are suffering in this material world, we are enjoying also, but mostly we are suffering. So why? What did we do that we came here and we stopped suffer? So all these questions hover around in our minds. So whenever we have any question, the answer can be given by knowledge, right? If you have knowledge, then there is no question. If you know, knowledge means to know. If I know certain thing, then I don't have any question about that thing, right? So that means there has to be knowledge. Now, there are three ways and two systems of acquiring knowledge. Three ways. Any knowledge, there are only three ways. Then everything else comes under those three. You know, they are the three main factors. What are these three factors? Let us try to understand today, you know. So because we understand that we require to gain knowledge, get knowledge. So how do we get knowledge? So okay. As I said, there are three ways of acquiring knowledge. What is the first way? It's called, you know, in Sanskrit it is called pramana. Pramana, okay. So I will just explain. Pratyaksha pramana. Okay. Pratyaksha pramana, that means direct experience. Right? We see something, we hear something, we read something, we experience something direct. So that's called pratyaksha pramana. That's one way of learning, right? You say, I will not believe something till I see that. Right? So that is called pratyaksha pramana. So where we conduct a lot of experiments, try out things, and then we accept it. So this is the one method. The second method is anumana pramana. Anumana means some inference, you know. Because this is this, so this will be this. For example, because I am in Florida, it should be hot. Or I should be living near a sea. Right? So this is called anumana pramana. Because you are living in, some of you are living in India and different places, that means we conclude that because it is this, so this will be this. That is called anumana pramana. Okay? So pratyaksha pramana, anumana pramana. And the third one is called shabda pramana. Shabda, shabda means sound. That means, when we hear from somebody, we get knowledge. Now, who is that somebody? It has to be an authority, right? When we hear from authority, then we accept that. And that we do in our day-to-day life every day. You know, for example, I'll give some few examples. If I have some legal problem with somebody, where do I go? I go to a lawyer, and then whatever he tells me, that is like a shabda pramana, because he knows the subject. So he's telling me, and then what we do, he says, okay, you file the case, you do this, you appeal. We just follow his instructions, because we don't know. Or we go to a doctor, and he says, you are diagnosed with this and this and this, and you take this and this and this medicine. We may ask him a few questions, but do we challenge his authority? We say, okay, you know. He says, okay, you want to get well? You have to do this. So like that, a small child, whatever his parents tell him, he accepts. Whatever our teachers tell us, you know, I remember when my children were young, very young. Now also they are young, I mean, I'm just telling, they were kids. And they were in their first grade or something like that. They come home with some homework or home assignment, all of that experience you have, all of us have that. And then they have something, and then you start telling them, okay, you can write like this. They will immediately, if that is not falling in line with what their teacher has told, they will say, no, teacher will scold me if I do that. You know, I have to do as per the teacher. Right? So that is called Shabda Pramana, hearing from the authority. Okay? So these are the three ways. And I told you there are two systems. One is called ascending system, another is called descending system. Ascending system meaning I start experimenting, you know, I don't know anything, so I start experimenting, and then I try different things, and then I get a block, then I change the thing, then I, you know, like that, you keep on doing things until such time that you arrive at some decision. That is called ascending knowledge, you know, like that's something like that Pratyaksha Pramana, some of Anumana Pramana in that also. And the other method is descending method. The knowledge already exists, you just have to get it from the right source, right? Just to give example again, I want to go from Florida to, let's say, Chicago. One is, I start walking or taking the car and, you know, start going and start asking people, and then they say, one, somebody says, go this way, you know, keep on trying different things. And maybe one day I'll reach. The other is, already the things exist, just go to the right source, the airlines or, you know, nowadays maps and this and that, you know, all that is available, right? And follow that and I go there. So these are the two methods, two systems, three pramanas and two systems. Why I am telling you all this? Because once we understand that, then it is very easy for us to understand Bhagavad Gita also. Now what are the advantages and disadvantages? Let us first take the pramanas. Pratyaksha pramana. Okay, when we say pratyaksha pramana, direct experience, that's good, but that has some problems, that has some limitations. Why there are limitations? See, when we are saying we experiment, who are we? We are human beings, right? I hope by now that much is established. We are nara, nari, not Pashu. That's the first step we crossed already. So when we say we are human beings, then to get a knowledge through this Pratyaksha Pramana, direct experience, has problems. What are the problems? So the scriptures have identified four problems. There are four problems. What are they? Number one, our knowledge acquiring senses are not perfect. That means we cannot believe in what we see and what we hear and what we touch and what we taste. We cannot 100% depend on that because it's imperfect. I am sitting here now, I don't know what is going on outside this room. Or how long, how far can we see? Can we see everything? Even if we get out of the room, we have some limitation. Our eyesights are even our eyesights are not perfect. You know, somebody may have 20/20 vision, but then somebody like me, I require something. If I remove this, I can't even read. Same way, I cannot hear everything. There's limitation. A dog can hear better than me. Right? I cannot decide by touching anything that, okay, this is this. I have to do so many things together to find out. So this is the first thing we have to admit, that our senses are not perfect. So to depend on something which is not perfect is dangerous, right? We can draw a wrong conclusion. That is why you see in the court when there is case, so many evidences are required that are scrutinized, and then ultimately some of them are accepted. Although the person may say, I saw this, I did this, and everything. A lot of counter questions will come. I'll show you some nice presentation where we'll understand how we are. One area only I'm taking, you know, seeing, how by seeing we cannot decide. Okay. Number one, I told you, senses are imperfect. Number two, we make mistakes. To err is human, right? You might have heard this. We always make mistakes. As a human being, nobody is perfect. Nobody. We make mistakes. So if we make mistakes, how can we decide something perfect? Especially when we are talking of the absolute knowledge. See, the whole idea behind Bhagavad Gita is to understand the absolute knowledge. The Param Satya. So how can we achieve something perfect with imperfect problems? Number three, we are in illusion, Maya. Maya, the definition of Maya is very simple. That which is not. That means we think that is that, but that is not that. That is Maya. So same way, we think so many things. Oh, it might be like that, it might be like that, it might be this, because, you know, as I said, Anumana Pramana also enters there, you know. So this is Maya. We think that we'll never die. We'll think that, oh, things will become all right on its own. You know, keep waiting and it will become, you don't have to work or something like that, you know. So there are so many illusions in our life. That means again there is a problem. And the fourth one is, I mean, it's difficult to digest, but it's true. We all have the propensity to cheat. You know, we cheat here and there. I'm not talking of big cheating or something, you know, big scandals or something, but you look back in your life, we always cheat. We are not 100% truthful. So these are the four problems. Okay, and because of these four problems, it's difficult to do something which is to achieve something which is perfect. Now, if these are the four defects, as I said, I'm going to show you some slides, so let's do that. I'll just show you some few. You might have seen them earlier, but let's do it again. Okay. What do you read? Do you read one thing, or do you read two things, or this? What is going on here? You know. I'm reading good. How many of you are able to first shot? You know, like when you saw that, what came in your mind? So we see things as per our consciousness also, you know, like if you are thinking evil, we will think evil. If you are thinking always good, then we don't see evil, you know, we see only good. Right? So both the things are there in the same. That means you cannot rely on your senses. It can mislead you. Okay, this is another example. Which way is the window? Is there something wrong with that? This prediction? I mean, is it facing right side or is it facing left side? Very intelligently done graphic. Can in real life, can a window like that exist? I wish there was a more of interaction here, but I mean, we are limited. Maybe I can try open the chat box and see what you have to say. Okay. Both doors are open. Yes. It's an illusion. One to the right and one to the left. Can in real life something like that can happen? Can it happen like that? Yes, right way. Some Lalita says right way. Illusion graphic. Yes, it is an illusion graphic, no doubt. Right? So, we can see that we can be misled. Right? Let's see something else. Okay. Now, the diagonal lines, the long lines, what do you think? They are merging, they are going away, or what do you see there? Yes, yes, of course. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to arrive at, Anuj. So, okay, my question was, what did you see there? Some lines are bound to merge at one point as they are not going parallel. You think so, sir? Mr. Rao, you think that they are going to merge? Let me again show you. Okay. Yeah, let's. Okay. So how many of you think that they are merging or getting away? And how many of you think that they are actually parallel? There is no getting away or anything. It's 100% parallel lines. Do you get it? These are some illustrations, as I repeatedly say, that to just let us know that they don't intersect. They don't intersect. They are all parallel. If you see the distance from the start from a corner, see the distance of each one on the x and y axis, and you will see that that's perfect distance. You know, there is nothing like crossing or something. Okay. So, this is another one. Let me show you one or two more. Okay. What do we see here? Let us bring the chat box and... Okay. Trees forming a human face. Okay. Everybody should participate, you know, this is how it will be interesting. Just say something what you are seeing. Okay. Girl watching at two huts. Okay. sitting on the bench, on the bush, right? Now see, the things are, more and more things are coming out, right? When we first saw it's a bearded man, now you see what's going on. Mountains. How many of you see a lizard? And his mouth is what? How many of you see a Christmas tree? Right? So as you keep on looking at it very intently, you keep seeing things. You keep seeing things. Right? So this is what is meant by illusion, and this is what is meant by imperfect senses. We can't suddenly decide. It's like, you know, we see in the desert we see the mirage, right? We cannot decide that, yeah, that is water there. Okay? Maybe one more, and that's it, you know, like last one I'll try. Okay. This one, the thing is, you focus on the picture for about 10 seconds, 15 seconds, and then turn your eyes towards any wall near you and blink the eyes and tell me what you see. Again, I'm saying 15 to 20 seconds, just focus on the picture. Then turn your head towards the nearest wall and blink your eyes. And just tell me what you see. Let me... Okay. Again, as I said, just see, look at the picture constantly, then turn your head to a next wall and just blink your eyes and you will see something. Everybody should be honest and say what else. I mean, I appreciate, okay, Anuj says something, Yukan saw something, Hiten saw something. See, everybody has a different experience. Oh my God, it is Jesus. How many of you see Jesus now? How many of you can see Jesus Christ? Right? But when we look at it the first time, can we see, make it out? But some people, when I experiment this, some people immediately find out. My daughter told me immediately, she's a graphic designer. And so when I showed that, she said, it's Jesus Christ. And I said, how do you see it? And she said, can't you see it? But here we have to do this experiment, you know. Because even you again go back to the picture, you can't see Jesus Christ. I can't see. Right? So this is just an illustration that our senses are not perfect. Okay? So let's go back to the... There are more, you know. Okay. So that's the problem with Pratyaksha Pramana. The second one is Anumana Pramana. You know, with just inference. as I said, because this is this, so that should be that. That can be totally misleading, right? Just because I'm in Florida, if you assume that I'm in the beach, you know, I'm on some hill here. This is a hilly place where I live. So we thought, oh, how can he? Because Florida means beaches, everybody knows that. Or it's hot, it's cold, people behave like this, people. So this is all anumana. Andaja, they say in Hindi. And the third one is Shabda Pramana, hearing from the authority. So especially when it comes to the spiritual subject matter, it is concluded that Shabda Pramana is the best. We just hear from the authority. Who is that authority? The Guru. Who is this authority? The Guru's representative. Who is this authority? The Acharyas. You know, who have experience, huge experience, who have done, seen everything. And Krishna in Bhagavad Gita is telling at one place that you should approach a spiritual master, serve him and inquire from him. He will tell you the truth because he has seen it, you know. So that's Shabda Pramana. So what we are going to follow is Shabda Pramana. And why? Okay, now the next question may come. And I'm going to end with that. Next question may come. Why do we believe? Why do we accept what is there in the scriptures? Or what is there in Bhagavad Gita? Here is the answer. Please listen very carefully. I got this almost 25, 26 years back. So I'm just digested it. And I know it's perfect. Okay, here is a statement about Bhagavad Gita. Nobody in the past or present, no one person or a group of persons have been able to find a single mistake in the text of Bhagavad Gita and prove it. Not a single mistake. There are thousands of commentaries on Bhagavad Gita, but the original text, original shlokas remain as it is. Nobody has changed even one full stop or comma. People have tried to find out mistakes, because always there will be, human being is like that, you know. But they have not been able to find. Why? They have not been able to find and challenge and, you know, prove it. Okay, you can challenge, but not proven. Otherwise, they would have changed, you know. Why? Simple factor. All the Vedic scriptures, especially when we are now talking of Bhagavad Gita, are apaurusheya. Apaurusheya, that means not composed, compiled and spoken by a human being. Paurusha means human. Apaurusha means not human. We saw human beings, all the problems we saw. Right? But here, this is coming from a perfect source. The Supreme God is a perfect person, perfect source. So when it comes from perfect, everything is perfect. And that is why we accept Bhagavad Gita as authority, because it's just perfect. Who spoke it? Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Krishna spoke to Arjuna. Then it was compiled by Vedavyas, and now we are able to read it. Okay? So this is the beauty of Bhagavad Gita, and that's why every word there has been tested, experimented upon, everything, and finally accepted. So if we accept it as it is, as an authority, then it's easy to understand. We can always have questions. We can have questions to get clarification, not a question to challenge. The moment we start challenging, we are going to be defeated. Because that's how it is. Okay? So, first we have to get this clear, that this is apaurusheya, It is spoken by the Lord Himself, and that's why it is perfect. And all we are doing is just following the instructions, following the knowledge. Okay? So I would like to stop here. And if you have any questions, comments, we can take that up now. Thank you. Okay, I think there's a big one here coming from Anuj. The Veda comes not from man origin. Yes, that's what I say. Apaurusheya. Thank you for quoting some shloka there. Okay. So, I hope with that mood, because next we are going to discuss who is qualified to understand Bhagavad Gita, from where we should learn Bhagavad Gita, why we learn Bhagavad Gita, all that will come. We just, you know, going, I'm going slow. I hope the space is alright for you. Okay? Because if you already know the subject matter, please bear with me. Because we have so many new, so many old, everybody is there, you know. Yes. What Anuj Prabhu wrote was that, you know, about the Vedangas. There's a whole Vedic literatures are not only Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is just one of them, you know. But it is the most important because it has the essence of everything else. Okay? So thank you so much.